Well, we're going to talk about something now that's even older than Thomas Edison's invention of the incandescent lamp, and that's the News Gazette. Tom Kasich is the features editor at the News Gazette, and he joins me now in the studio to talk about a book called Hot Type, 150 Years of the Best Local Stories from the News Gazette. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Denise. It's nice to be here.
Well, I was looking through this, and it's amazing, because I've only been here since 1972, and there are some stories that come back, and, you know, you readdress those as they've come back over the years, the attempts to make the towns one, or certain other stories like that. What was it like looking into this? I mean, because you can't be 150 years old. Some of it had to be new to you.
No, it was all a matter of going back and looking at microfilm copies of past newspapers at the newspaper archives, at the wonderful newspaper archives at the University of Illinois. And it was interesting to go back and look at how the town has evolved, and very interesting to find that we who live here now have this idea that it's sort of a cultured town, and the university dominated, and it's kind of a little island. And man, it was a wild town for most of its existence.
Yeah, I found a lot of it surprising, and I'm glad that some of the pictures you have in there go way, way back to those times.
There are some great old photos that we were just so happy to find things, you know, photos that are more than 130 years old. Terrific.
And some of the old buildings that aren't here anymore that, you know, people occasionally hear about, the Flatiron Building.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, some of the big fires are stories here.
Yeah,
a fire the same week as the Great Chicago Fire.
Right. Downtown Urbana was virtually destroyed by a fire, the cause of which is still up for debate, but it was the same week as the Great Chicago Fire.
Mm.
But no injuries or no deaths from this one.
And presidents and presidential hopefuls visiting over the years. It's like, I guess there are 150 either specific stories or events. You know, some things took time that you
That's
know,
exactly right. Some
you address.
Some took time. You cited the merger issue. That's one that, you know, you can't put down to one particular date. But there were numerous efforts over the course of the history of Chanute Air Force Base in Rantoul, where it was threatened and the Congress almost shut it down. And after a long while, it finally did. But some of these stories are certainly more than just one date or one event.
And some very interesting crime stories, too. That must have been interesting to look into.
There's a lot of crime, and some people might say there's too much. My editors, my friends at work were a little worried that there was too much crime. But, you know, crime is part of America, and it's interesting to find that we think that our times today are violent, but I think actually 50 or 100 years ago might have been just as violent. I mean, there were teacher shootings in a school, an area school, 50 years ago, and you know, brutal murders, and alcohol was common in a lot of those.
I read in here that Elliot Ness even made a raid down here.
Elliot Ness got his start, and I think it was mostly for publicity, but they raided a few places around campus and made headlines, and I think that was what it was all about. He was a member then of the Prohibition Bureau, and that's how he got his start, and eventually moved up to Chicago and made even bigger headlines. But he got his feet wet, so to speak, here.
Some of the other interesting stuff about it, besides the old pictures, is when you quote from some of the very old stories, the way they're written is just so colorful.
Yeah, yeah. they weren't as direct as we have to be now. We can't use as many adjectives and kind of write around things, but they were able to do that then. Writing styles have changed a lot. Newspapers have changed a lot, and that's really something that was interesting to me, and maybe not to a lot of other people. But how newspapers have changed, and the way they laid things out, and the type was so small. I don't know how people could read it.
Mm. And also, way back then, it wasn't the Champaign News Gazette, or it wasn't the News Gazette as the name of the paper when it started. It seems that there were several papers.
That's true.
Over different ownership.
That's true. We say that, you know, the News Gazette is 150 years ago, but actually we trace our lineage back 150 years. But the News Gazette as a newspaper itself really didn't come out until 1919. And with the merger of the Champaign Daily News and the Champaign Daily Gazette, the Gazette is actually much older than the News. Mm. And the publisher, the man who bought the Daily News and merged the two in 1919 is David W. Stevick.
Mm.
And his daughter, Marijan Kinigo is still the owner of the paper.
So it's a family newspaper. There was, did you take part in the symposium earlier this week?
Yes. And so the Stevic family has owned the paper since basically 1919.
It probably makes it easier to do something like this book when you have some kind of continuing ownership. Maybe you didn't have to research everything at the University of Illinois.
Well, we have some records and some photos that you know are still here, but I can't tell you how much of a great resource the university library was, and I'm really indebted to those folks and to the people who were foresighted enough many, many years ago to create such a wonderful institution.
Well, you do have a full-time job as features editor. I'm sure it's a little more demanding than, you know, just a straight hours. How did you ever find the time to put this together?
Actually, I was the features editor. Now I'm the editorial page editor. And I do have a colleague there that he took up a lot of the slack. Jim Dye helped me out with some of my regular jobs, taking up the slack there. And so my schedule was somewhat clear to do this work, the research and the writing. And, you know, I did some extra work, but it was really kind of enjoyable. I do like history, and I like local history, so... It was pleasure.
Yeah, well, this is has a lot of history in it. I mean, I guess you could consider it's all history, but it's more interesting than a lot of history that some people end up reading or forced to read.
I really think people will enjoy that. I'm not saying that, obviously, I wrote the book, but I think people will enjoy learning some things about their hometown or even a town they only spent 3 or 4 years in as a student. Things they'll really be amazed at, like you cited Elliot Ness, and there were just so many interesting stories that happened here. When Marilyn Monroe passed through, that's incongruous to a lot of people, but here she was a tremendous movie star at the time, and she deigned to visit one of the smallest communities in central Illinois.
Right, yeah. And I did notice that WRM, which became WILL, was mentioned in there. That was very nice.
And in fact, our D.W. Stevic, who I talked about, was a big supporter of WRM and later WILL. He started his own radio station in Champaign. But he was very interested in technology. He was a real pioneer and a very creative guy. He built his own racing cars and. He was into anything new. He wanted to be on top of it, and radio was among the things.
I think one of the interesting things I read in there where it talked about that, it said that WRM was on the air from something like 8:30 to 9 p.m. on Thursday evening.
Thursday nights, yeah. And they'd have 3 or 4 items of interest that somebody would come in and talk about, football, or somebody would talk about some arcane chemical discovery, or they did 10-minute segments, kind of like Morning Edition.
Only all local, probably.
Yeah,
it's a very interesting book. Let's see, 150 years, 150 events, 261 pages, it looks like.
A lot of photographs.
Oh, yes. Right here, the Ku Klux Klan in 1923, owners of the Illinois Theater in Urbana.
Yep, right down the street here. There was a Ku Klux Klan wedding at the Illinois Theater. Which burned down, I think, 4 years later, very mysteriously.
A lot of mysterious things happened in this town, it seems like. There was also a robbery at a mansion that I think is...
I
forget what it's called now.
It used to be Cole Hospital.
Right.
It's now the Pavilion. Yeah, that was the Cole Mansion, and there was a Illinois Army game that year, and there were a lot of people in town, a lot of wealthy folks, and... somebody sniffed it out, and there was a big robbery and a shooting, but they eventually caught all the bad guys.
Mm. Well, that's the way to do it. Yep. they showed those big city guys.
That's
you just
right.
couldn't come down here and mess with Champaign-Urbana.
That's true.
And I'm also here to see this other story on Urbana money in 1933.
Yeah, during the Depression when they closed the banks, the Chamber of Commerce and the political leaders in Urbana knew that it would be a while before Urbana's two banks would open, so they printed their own money and kept the economy and commerce moving in Urbana so that the stores didn't have to shut down. Just a lot of fascinating things that, you know, it's kind of a – this was really a very creative town in the 20s and 30s. Just the way that things were built, hospitals and hotels. I mean, the building that is now Jumer's Hotel was really a community program where, mm-hmm. where people in Urbana knew that the city needed a hotel because Champaign was getting all the tourism and all the convention business. So they joined together and built their own hotel, which is now Jumer's. But it was a – well, it's not Jumer's anymore either.
Yeah. Things change.
Yes,
that's another story in the 150 years here in Hot Type. Now, I understand that you're going to be signing the book this weekend.
We have a book signing scheduled Sunday at the Urbana Free Library, which is another place where I got a lot of my research done.
And which is mentioned in the book also.
Yes, it's a wonderful place. Their archives is terrific. And we'll be there from 1:30 to 3:30 on Sunday. Signing copies of the book with the some of the proceeds of the sales will go to the library and its expansion program.
No, I'm sure they could use that.
Yeah.
I guess a story that wasn't in here, the moving of the Jacques House, that was
yeah.
There's right so many stories that, you know, that could be in there, but
that's exactly right. There were about 10 stories that just didn't make the cut,
you know. Oh, could you give me a couple more that you
I actually had one of them, which we sort of incorporated into the Bill Clinton when he visited here. The Bill Clinton story was when both Lyndon Baines Johnson and Hubert Humphrey were here the same day in Rantoul at Chanute Air Force Base, and we wrote a story about the development of hard roads and how Champaign first got its first link to the outside world was a hard road between Champaign-Urbana and Danville. There were some crimes, some unsolved crimes that were big stories at the time in the 70s and 80s, but we thought, you know, as I said before, maybe this was a little too rich with crime stories,
yeah,
so we decided to go another way. But the Jake's House, that would have been one, too. A nice, beautiful old pioneering house behind the library, wouldn't it?
And I guess you can start gathering things maybe for the next book.
You mean in another 150
years? More things that happened in the last, say, 151 years. That
if we find that interest, maybe we'll go that way, too.
Well, the book is published by Sports Publishing, LLC. And Tom Kasich is the writer. It's called Hot Type, 150 Years of the Best Local Stories from the News Gazette. Thank you so much for coming by, and I hope some of our listeners will come by and see you on Sunday at the Urbana Free Library.
That would be wonderful. Thanks, Denise.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Coming up on Fresh Air today, TV's favorite crime family show, The